Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hey, can you get a drum? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Gopal Guru ki jai, Jan Chandra Goswami ki jai, see the Vrindavan Das Thakur ki jai, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Prabhu ki jai, Namacharya Hari Das Thakur ki jai, see Rup Sanatana Bhatta Raghunashi Jeev Gopala Bhatta Das Raghunas Sadgo Sai Prabhu ki jai, see Rup Damadashi Raya Namanandari Gaur Shakti Varga ki jai, Ananda Godi Vaishnava Vrindi ki jai, Chari Vaishnava Sampadaya Acharya Vrindi ki jai, Premsikaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Sri Navadipa Dhamma Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Vallabha Gopa Gopinashaya Mukunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhana Ki Jai, Krishna Balada Dhanavaya Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dhamma Ki Jai, Sri Jagannatha Baladev Subhadramaya Ki Jai, Jagannatha Puri Dhamma Ki Jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Bhagavad Gita Chaitanya Charitamrita Nectar Devotion Srila Prabhupada Book Distribution Ki Jai, Sri Gangamai Jamunamai Bhakti Devi Tosi Rani Ki Jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande, all glory to the sum of devotees, all glory to the sum of devotees, all glory to the sum of devotees. All glory to Sri Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, glory to Srila Prabhupada. Sarva Sashtabdi Peyusha, Sarva Vedika Satapala, Sarva Siddhantaratna Dhyam, Sarva Loki Kudrika Pradham, Sarva Bhagavata Prana Srimad Bhagavatam Prabho Kali Dvanto Dhatadhitya Sri Krishna Parivartita Paramananda Pataya Prema Varkshakshadaya Te Sarvada Sarvese Dhyaya Sri Krishnaya Namostute Madhe Govando Mad Sangin Mad Gauror Mad Mahadana Mad Nistadaka Mad Bhagya Madananda Namostute Asadu Sadhu Taddayan Ati Nitsuchataraka Hanamunchakada Chinamam Premna Hrutakantaya Spura Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya Rikridatam Rajavadu Biridang Cha Vishnu Rikridatam Rajavadu Biridang Cha Vishnu Shraddhan Vito Anushunuyad Atavaranayadya Shraddhan Vito Anushunyad Atavaranayadya Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdha Kaman Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdha Kaman Vidarogamasu apihanoti acharena dhira Vidarogamasu apihanoti acharena dhira Vikriditam Vrajavadubhiridangachavishno Vakriditam Vrajavadubhiridangachavishno Sradhanuya Anusuya Rata Varanayadya Sridhanvito Anusuya Rata Varanayadya Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdha Kaman Bhakti Param Pratilabdha Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdha Kaman Param Bhagavati Pratilabdha Kaman Vidarogamasu Apihanoti Acharena Dhira Vidarogamasu Apihanoti Acharena Dhira Haridarogam asu apihanoti acharena dhira Haridarogam asu apihanoti acharena dhira Vikrida tam rajavadu biridanga cha vishno Tam rajavadu biridanga cha vishno Shradhan vito anushunuyarata varanayadya Shradhan vito anushunuyarata varanayadya Bhakti param bhagavati patilabdha kama Bhakti param patilabdha Bhakti Param Bhagavati Pratilabdha Kaman Bhakti Param Hridarogam Asu Apihanoti Acharena Dhira 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 Avakridatam Rajavadubiri Dangacha Vishnu Kridatam Rajavadubiri Dangacha Vishnu Shradhan vito anushunuyad atavarnayedya Shradhan vito anushunuyad atavarnayedya Bhakti param bhagavati pratilabdha kaman Bhakti param bhagavati pratilabdha kaman Vidarogam asu abhihanoti acharena dhira Vidarogam asu abhihanoti acharena dhira Hari Vikridatam Rajavadu Biridanga Cha Vishno Sharadhan Vito Anushunuyad Atavaranayedya Bhakti Parang Bhagavati Pratilabdha Kaman Hridarogam Asu Apihanoti Acharena Dhira This is the conclusion of the whole chapter, this verse. This is why it's so famous. This is why it's so quoted. This is the whole conclusion of the whole chapter. It's powerful. Go ahead, chant it and relish it, because this is big. This shloka is big. It's memorized, it's heard, it's chanted, it's loved. This verse is big. Go ahead and love it. This verse is famous.
Vikrida tamavaja vadu biri dangacha vishno.
Sharadhan vato anusunu yadata varanayetya. Bhakti padang bhagavati pati labdha kaman. Rida roga masu apihanoti acharena dhira. This verse is such ecstatic. Anyone else want to chant? Go ahead. Okay. Mata. Anybody can try, come on. Practice makes perfect. I tell you quite frankly. It just takes one syllable. It's like phonics, you know? When I was a kid at 15 years old and with shlokas like this, or anything, names in Krishna book, I thought, what's the big deal? You know, my karmi name is Martin, and his name is Yudhishthir, you know, or Bhim, or, you know, or Sridham, or Sudham, or Kamalekshana, or like that. You follow? I just thought, it's just simple. It's one syllable. It's one syllable, and you put it next to the another. It's just like phonics, like we learned when we were in first grade, you know, when we were in 6 years old. Yeah, we learned phonics, you know, and it never, Sanskrit never blew my mind, even in those days, you know, at the age of 15. I just accepted it, you know. The mind is like a muscle. If you use it, it gets bigger, it gets stronger. And don't think that because, you know, it's not your mother tongue, really, you know what I mean? You didn't grow up with it, your parents didn't speak it, you know, to you. You know, it's not weird. And not only that, it's Krishna. Bhagavatam is exactly Krishna. Sri Krishna Parivartita. Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna who has come back to be with us. What can we say? The verses are all ecstatic. One word at a time, one line at a time. And the meter of the verse, it's just like you have a train. You have a train, and in between each bogie, each wagon of the train, there is a coupler. Okay? And that coupler holds one wagon to the other. So in the same way, the meter of the verse flows like a river. It flows like the river, and it pulls your mind, you know, from one line to the other. Ah! And it just, you know, it steals the mind, and it just pulls the mind like a flowing river. Whoa! And it just takes you right along. And the more you hear it, the more it becomes tasty. The more you hear it, the more easier it is. And after a while, the meter starts to come. You look at it and you go, that's strange. How do you chant that? And you look at it for a little while and you go, oh, I recognize it. You know, then you start to recognize it. It's like that. Bhikri ditang vrajavadu bire dangacha vishno sraddhana vitto vanunusur Anushuyad Atavarana Yadya Abhakti Panang Bhagavati Padilabdha Kamana Hridarogam Asu Apihanoti Acharena Dira. It's such a nice meter, such a nice thing, and it sings and so sweet. Gopi Gita, that has another dancing meter, that has another playful meter that the gopis use. And oh, each verse just speaks volumes. In chapter 21, of the Bhagavatam when Krishna plays his flute. Oh, one gopi is talking to another. All these girls are getting together and they talk to, and each verse is a different gopi talking to another friend of hers. You know, they all have their different perspectives, their different realizations, you know. And it's just amazing, you know. As you can see their whole separation from Govinda, as Govinda goes to the forest with his friends and the girls follow him on every path in the forest as he plays his flute. And oh, and they describe the forest and they describe everything that they visualize. And oh, the poetry, oh, the meter, oh, it just steals the mind and it plunges it into Vrindavan. And this is the subject matter of devotees, really. This is the subject matter of devotees at nighttime especially, or after your whole day is over, then you go home and you take your dear friend, you know, you take your dear friend, whoever they are, and you do this. This is what bhakti means. Prabhupada said, Sayam Prata, morning and evening. Morning you relish something that's sublime. And in the evening you relish something sublime. The whole idea was in the Vedic culture, like I mentioned yesterday,
that certain individuals that had very good advisors, very good friends, they taught people that there must be some point of the day, every day, where you literally give up the material world. You practice this. You practice going to the spiritual world somehow. Now, every one of us is an individual. How you'll individually do that, it depends on your svabhava prakriti, your own nature. Your own nature. Some devotees do it by puja. Like we mentioned yesterday about that Rajasthani Raja. His way of going to the spiritual world was his puja. And he told his wife and his mother, nobody disturbs me when I'm doing my puja. He was so powerful, he blocked out his ears also. The ears is the last line of defense. If somebody's going to come and stab you or kill you or break into your house, you know, you usually hear it and you wake up. Right? That's the general thing. But he was so attached to Krishna that he even blocked his ears also. Evidently, it takes practice, you follow? Somebody's trying to do puja and there's some noise and it's annoying. But after some times, when they become so determined to focus the mind on Krishna, that evidently he trained his mind to cancel even that out. To not let anything disturb him while he was meditating on the beauty of Shyam Sundar. So he was doing his manasik puja like that, absorbed in the beauty of Shyam Sundar. He did his manasik puja, he worshipped him in a very opulent, gorgeous way. And then generally, sometimes they do manasik puja, then they'll do the external puja. They'll do the external worship of items and paraphernalia, and bathe the Lord, and dress the Lord, talk to the Lord, like that. And then after the Lord is beautifully dressed and garlanded and fed and everything, then again their mind will go back into manasik puja. You know, again they will contemplate the beauty of their Lord and try to enter into his pastimes and meditation. And they'll do that for however hours there are. In this way the king was practiced. This is what he every day did. Because, you know, from 9 to 5 or 9 to 6 or whatever the king's schedule was, he had to be in the material world. He had to be there for the praja, for the citizens. You know, he was a manager. He had to be there for them, you know, for their problems, for their life. Because that's how the king became very dear to the citizenry, is he actually loved them very much and he actually took care of them. Now, and he had that service attitude, him and his wife, the queen, had that service attitude because they were able to focus the mind on Krishna. Therefore they had that, because they were getting that love from their mantris, from their spiritual masters, who was their prime ministers at the time, you see. Because they got that from their shiksha gurus. And like that, they were able to give that to their citizens. So they did their dharma as kshatriyas. They were administrators. But there was a time in their day that they left the whole material world and went to the spiritual world. So some devotees do it in their japa. I know some devotees, they will not speak one word during their japa. They're just absorbed in the holy name. And they try to get deeper and deeper and deeper into the holy name. It's an example. See? Go to the spiritual world. Just cancel everything. Nothing is significant. Go to the spiritual world. There are devotees that will do that with Srimad Bhagavatam. When they read Bhagavatam privately, when they read Krishna Katha, they will try to enter into the mood of the verse in such a deep way that they literally forget the four walls that surround their room. Literally. And I remember as a kid, when I was 15 years old, and I would get the books of Srila Prabhupada and I would read Nectar Devotion, read Krishna book. I would practice that, I thought. Just follow the sound. Just follow the sound and go in the forest of Vrindavan with Krishna and his friends. Just, in this way, I would try to give up the four walls that surrounded my room. And I gave up all desires for playfulness and sporting and hanging out and riding bicycles and frivolous sports and all that. I gave it up because I became more attached to hearing and going to the spiritual world. You see? And I really liked it. You know, when I read Nectar Devotion, just give up those four walls and just let your mind go wherever Bhakti Rasamrita Sundar will take it. It was like that. You see? So this is what we have to do in the morning and the evening. In the morning and the evening. We try to find somebody. Either you do it in class, you know, you're binding with devotees like that. Or if you're married, you bind with your husband, your spouse. Or if you're in the ashram, then you try to bind with another devotee. The point is to hear and chant and go to the spiritual world and increase that communication in such a loving way, such a loving, sensitive way. Because we're all individuals. We all have an eternal relationship with Krishna. And you know what? It may be completely different from devotee to devotee. The way they love Krishna, the way they love Gauranga could be completely different from you. You see? Therefore, it is very important to first know exactly what you want. What do you want? How would you like to serve Krishna? How are you attracted to Krishna? If you don't know, then you hear and chant something, just any topic that attracts your mind. If you don't know what your relationship is, because we don't know when we're conditioned, fine, it'll blossom later, it'll come out later. What are you interested in? Brainstorm that. Try to understand it from the most ecstatic point to the most insignificant, to the most so-so point. If you further refine that, you will find, this is the nectar that sustains me. This is what keeps me going. And if something is so ecstatic, then any time, day or night, it will steal your mind. That's how powerful it is. Something that is so powerful, when you hear the sound, immediately, at least even for the moment, you're stunned. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions that in Vrajariti Chintamani. He says this about Manasiganga. He says, No keiranam yatta tayo shruti nam patam kantet chede yadi tata prayati tadaiva ruddham kurute balena balena cha cha chayatum nasaptyum. Yes. He's talking about the boat pastimes on Manasiganga. No kevanam, this no kavihar, when Krishna and Radha are on the boat with their friends on the boat in the middle of Manasiganga. No kevanam yatra, yatra there on Manasiganga. Tayo, of them, of those two. Shrutinam, if you hear that. Patam, if it happens to go, pata, pata on the path. Patam, kantachit, katamchit, if it happens to go. Yadi tat prayati, if it goes on the shore of the ear. It's poetry. Patam kantanchet aditat prayati, if it goes upon the shore of the ear, tadaiva ruddham, then you'll become stunned in amazement. Kurute balena, it is caused by the power of that topic. Kurute balena, balena cha, and by that power indeed, Cha jayatam na shaktyum. You will not have the power to pull your mind away from it. Cha jayatam. Cha jayatam means to give up. You'll not be able to give it up. Tadaiva ruddum kurute balena. You'll become so shocked. Whew, this is amazing. Tadaiva ruddum. You'll be stunned. You'll be stopped. You know, it's like something astonishing. For the materialist, only unless there's a catastrophe or something shocking will they stop. Look at that, you know, a big car accident or something, you know what I mean? You know, wow, look at that, you know, boom, you know, then they'll stop and, you know, and they'll stop and look at that, right? It takes something shocking, something exquisitely beautiful. Look at that forest, wow, you know, or something, you follow me. Most people in the mode of passion are just in the raj, in the intensity, just moving, you know, get moving, you know, wow. Sorry, buddy, no time. You know, they won't stop, right? Because they're in an intense mood. For those people, it takes something astonishing. You know, like in the World Trade Center collapse, you know, my God, look at that. The whole building's broke. You know, it's something like that. Or a big auto accident or something. Or look, there's a fire or something. You know what I mean? But it takes a calamity for somebody that's materially motivated to become stunned, stop like that. But for a bhakta, it just takes the spiritual world. Tadaiva ruddham kurute balena, balena cha cha jayatam na shaktyum, Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad says. This pastime is so sweet, it's so astounding, it's so wonderful, that if the sound of it happens to go along the path of the tip of your ear, then you'll become so stunned and so amazed, you'll not be able to find the strength to give it up, that pastime, he says. That's it. You see that? What I'm telling all of you, this is what you all have to get. This is what we're here in this temple for. Find some nectar that is irresistible. And day and night, it doesn't matter what time of the day, if you remember that, it was, at least even for the moment, it will steal your mind and go. When the gopis describe Krishna's flute in the 10th canto, 21st chapter, it's all about that. How powerful is Krishna's flute? How it mesmerizes. How the Jamuna will just turn, will flow backwards. How the calves, they've got, the gopis observed all these symptoms. What happens when Krishna's flute enters their ear holes? What happens to these Vrajavasis? The gopis have observed it minutely. They would look and see, look, that calf has got this mother's udder in his mouth, and he's unable to suck the milk. He's so stunned, hearing the beautiful sound of Krishna's flute, and tears are falling from his eyes in astonishment. And he's stunned completely, in emotional stunning, and he's unable to do anything. You see? That's the distinction. What happens when Krishna's flute comes? He becomes stunned in amazement. See? They become melted by the sound of Krishna's flute. In the same way, Balarama's horn, because he's Kamapala, he is the protector of transcendental desire, and everyone has to do their service for Krishna, whatever it is, their particular service. And so Dauji reminds him of that. When Dauji's horn blows, it calls all the boys together. Wake up! Wake up! Madhava's going to the forest with the cows. It's our duty. It's our dharma. Let's go! Let's go be with Krishna! You know, this is what Dauji's horn does in the morning. Tello, Krishna! You know, all the boys, they get up with one mind when they hear Balarama's horn. Immediately, ah! What do we have to do? Our service is to go in the forest. This is what the moment we're waiting for. We're just hankering and we're dreaming all night. What fun we had in the day and what fun we're going to have today. And let's go! You know? And that's it. The horn tells them, yes, assemble all boys, let's go immediately to Nandeshwar and we'll see Kanu. And they'll all wait in the balcony. And Kanu, wake up, Kanu. Come on, Kanu, wake up. Wake up. Uto uto mora nandera nandam prabhata hoi lo rati. Krishna, Krishna, wake up. The morning hours have come. Angani dandaya royeche shakala balakatomarasati. And all the boys, they're situated on the angan, on the balcony, and they're just simply waiting to be with you. All these boys are simply waiting and eager, they're just to be with you.
Mukanidhyanda kaya sodarani mujanayu padi mukanidhyanda kaya sodarani.
Mother Jasoda, she takes a washcloth and she rubs it all over Krishna's eyes, you know, her face, you know, to remove the sleepiness from his face and try to wake him up.
Dakaya yasodarani.
And Mother Jasoda, the queen of Yasoda, queen of Vrindavan, she calls out in a loud voice,
Koto sukha pai ghumaya choshuya ami kichu nahi jani.
Just what do you get by sleeping? I just don't understand.
Because she doesn't know. All he got was an hour and a half, you know. He got an hour and a half with Radharani and the Kunjas, right? And then he came back home about 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, and he jumped into through the window and into his bed, you know. And Mother Jasoda is coming about 6 o'clock or 6:15 or 6:30 in the morning. And she's saying, come on, Kanu, get up. Your friends are outside, they're waiting for you. Come on, Kanu, get up. What are you getting by sleeping? I just don't understand, you know. She doesn't understand. All he had was 3 hours of sleep. You know, and his eyes are completely red from sleep. And it's like, God, if I could just get a few more winks, you know. But he can't, you know. And then,
Koto sukha pai ghumaya choshuya yami kichu nahi jani.
Then she challenges him, Nayana Melia, just open your eyes.
Dekho charya. Just look around and see. Udaya hoilo bhano. The sun has just come up in the sky. Udaya is uprising. Hoilo bhano. And the sun is coming out. Hoilo manifested its effulgence. The sun is manifesting its shining. Udaya hoilo bhano. Sri Dhamma Sudama Dhakkaye Sagana. Sri Dhamma and Sudama are all calling out loudly, Utobaya! Get up, brother! Oh, hey, Kanu! Oh, hey, Kanu! Oh, Kanu! Utobaya! Get up, brother! Oh, hey, Kanu! Hearing his friend's voice, he goes, Anga Modadiya. Then he stretches. Krishna stretches like that. Anga Modadiya. Utilo Shatavari. Then he gets up. Sundaraya Davarai, the beautiful young boy who is the chief of the Yadu dynasty. Yadavarai, the king of the Yadus. Why do they, king of the Yadus? Anyway, the king of the Yadus. That sounds like, you know, Mathura or Dwarka, really. Sundaraya Davarai. Anyway, they have so many names for Krishna, you know. And the poet had to put one that rhymed, that fit into the poetry, right? It's just a way of affectionately addressing Krishna, Yadavarai, you know? You know, just like they address Radharani, Rai Kishori, you know, like that. It's an affectionate name. Kanu is Krishna, and Dauji is Balaram, and Baldau, you know, they have all these village names, short names of affection. Sundara Yadavarai, Mukha Prakshaliya, and he takes a pail to wash his face. Mukha Prakshaliya Gokula Chandrahi. And the author, Gokula Chandra, who is the brother of Nayanananda, who has written this bhajan. Jalajari Loya Jai. He picks up the pail and he goes to wash his face. You know, he goes to take his bath, you know. Picks up the pail and goes to take his bath. So this is the morning. This is the morning when Krishna wakes up. And it all flows from Dauji's horn. Come on, boys. Come. Kamapala blows his horn. Everybody to duty. Come on. Go serve Krishna. Balaram is the protector of transcendental desire. You know, then Jeev Goswami says in Bhakti Sandarbha. Dauji is famous as Kamapala, the protector of transcendental desire. This is the very dear thing to your heart. And Balarama will protect it. Yes, this is your duty. Don't forget your duty. So when Krishna blows his flute, everyone melts. And the gopis observe it. In chapter 21, what happens to all the Vrijavasis, you know, the moving and non-moving living entities, the birds and everything, you know. It mentions that the parrots, they're sitting on the branches of the trees, and the sound of Krishna's flute melts them, now. But then they have to take their claws and they have to clamp down on the branch so they don't fall off. The sound of either the ecstasy flowing from Krishna's flute is so powerful, you know, that they're just... You know, their limbs seize up, you know. When their limbs seize up, it's their good fortune because that way their claws, they're holding on to the branch. And the limb goes, ah! You know, the limb will seize up on the branch. And in this way, Radha and Krishna will protect them, you know, so they don't fall off the tree. They don't fall off the tree when they hear Krishna's flute. And Dauji's horn is another thing. Toot! Everybody. And everybody becomes stunned. And all the Vrijavasis know it. And they anticipate it. You see? Even Radharani's friends in this Govinda Vallabha Natakam, she says that if I see my beloved, then I'll become completely astounded and I'll be stunned and I don't know what I will say. And in my parents, if the elders see this, then it will not be good, you know, if they see my attachment for Krishna. And if they see that Krishna is attached to me, then it will not look good. What will we do in front of our superiors? And the gopis say, don't worry, Rai Kishori, we'll protect you. It's our duty to make sure to cover your tracks. It's all right. We'll take care of you. Come. Now here you take this tray of betel nuts and you go give it to your beloved. Don't worry about it. We're here behind you. And they're just, you know, escorting her down the stairs. Go. And then they see each other and they have a flood of ecstasies flowing with each other. Like this. In the meantime, Balarama was completely, you know, completely intoxicated by Kadambari. And he says, after he's become happy by drinking the Kadambari, come on, let's go. The cows won't wait very long, right? The cows won't wait very long, he said.
And then Raikishori comes. And just Krishna forgets all about Balaram, you know. But they know it, you see, and they're discussing. Radha and Krishna are discussing. And they mention, Balaram's horn is not far. And they mention, oh, we have to hurry with this conversation because as soon as Balaram will blow his horn, then Madhava will no longer be here. You know, it's like that. As soon as Balaram blows his horn, everyone in Vrindavan changes. Everyone becomes stunned. Oh! They become, you know, whatever they were thinking, you know, Krishna's flute melted them. They became so attached to the sound of the flute. They were just stopping whatever they did. They were just drinking up the sound of Krishna's flute, and they became melted. And then Balarama's horn shocks them out of that. Oh! What is my duty? What do I have to do? I have my domestic duties. I have my duty. This I have to do. Oh! They became shocked into dutifulness because that's his nature. He's Kamapala. He's a protector of transcendental desire. What is their transcendental desires? What is their dharma? What is their duties in relation to Vrindavan, in relation to their service? So every devotee has to find that. And it starts by finding the nectar that sustains you. One topic at a time. Topics about Gauranga. Topics about Krishna that are irresistible. And this is important because it states in Madhya Leela chapter 22 verse number 156. Ratri dine kode braje Krishna rasevan. The mood is this. Ratri dine, whether it is day or night, kode braje, such a person goes to Vrindavan, Krishna rasevan, and they'll come to serve Krishna. This is the essence of it. This is what we're here for. This is what we're in this temple for. Prabhupada mentioned it very nicely in 1969 in New York. Who am I? Where have I come from? Where am I going? That's what, he mentioned 6 points. That's what this temple is for. How to train people, how to make the best out of this human form of life. Who am I? I'm spirit soul, servant of Krishna. We've come from so many different bodies, from so many different places, in so many different directions. And how to achieve it? The process is bhakti yoga and sadhana bhakti at the ashraya of the devotees and the spiritual masters, the shiksha gurus and diksha gurus at their feet, following the purva acharyas, following the footsteps of the previous acharyas, right? And be enthusiastic, follow the four principles, chant 16 rounds, stay in the company of devotees, do not become morose, be enthusiastic, Krishna will surely help you, Prabhupada said. Just see, But it all flows by this Krishna Katha. Sayam Prata, Prabhupada mentioned in one lecture, in the morning and the evening. Prabhupada described it like a spiritual sandwich of Krishna Katha, like that. Then in the daytime, when householders have to go out and do their work, their domestic duties, right, their job or something, because they had nectar in the morning, and they got nectar with their wife, you know, in the evening, they try to go to the spiritual world with their spouse or their dear friend. They try to go to the spiritual world in substantial ways that exactly each individual wants. That's important. It is absolutely important to find a win-win situation. How do you want to go to Gauranga? How do you want to go to Krishna? In what ways would you like to hear? You see? Then, what stops you from increasing that taste? The anarthas. The unwanted things that are in the heart. What are they? Not that we're going to sweep them under the carpet or they're so embarrassing that we wish to hide from them. No. An obstacle is an opportunity for a Vaishnava. Prabhupada mentions that nicely in 2nd Canto, Chapter 3, verse number 17. The famous Ayur Harati Vai Pungsam Shloka. That the rising and the setting of the sun, all of it decreases the duration of life of a person, except for one who chants the glories of the all-good personality of Godhead. In the last sentence, at the very end of the purport, he says, the destruction and the disease of a devotee's body is nothing but an impetus for spiritual life. That reminds me of Narottam Das Thakur's statement in Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Pakile, he said, Jugula Sadhana Jay Dana Chai. That treasure that you hanker by your sadhana, in this case it's sadhana is raga marga sadhana actually, But you could take it to mean even Vairi Bhakti Sadhana, because he didn't qualify it in the shloka, but it could mean both. Sadhana Jedana Chai, that treasure that you're hanging by your sadhana, Saktana, eternal wealth, not temporary wealth, Saktana. Sadhana means Saktana, eternal wealth. Sadhana Jedana Chai, Siddha Deya Taha Pai, you'll attain that with your transcendental body. Paka paka matra se bichar. You must contemplate seriously whether it is ripe or unripe. Narottam Das says, very clear. Paka paka matra se bichar. You contemplate, is it ripe or not? We don't want a sentiment. It is not a sentimental thing. Pakile se prema bhakti. When it is ripe, it manifests as prema, loving devotion. Apake sadhana gati. And if it's not ripe, it's the goal of your sadhana. It's the destination of your sadhana. This is focus. Narottam Das is trying to focus us. This is what you want. This is what you need. This is what you deserve. Huh? As a devotee. This is the goal of your sadhana. Apake sadhana gati. If it's not ripe, it's the goal of your sadhana. Bhagati lakshana tatvasar. This is the essence, Narottam says. This is the essence of topics of devotional service. This is the sar, the cream, the fruit, the concentrate. The concentrate, Narottam Das is saying. So this shloka, vikriditam rajavadubire dangacha vishnu, sadhanavata, anushunaya rata varanayadya bhakti param bhagavati patilabdha kamana hrita rogam asu apihanote yacharena dira. Now, we'll read the synonyms since we got a full class now. Yeah, everybody showed up. Very good. So, we'll read the synonyms. Vikriditam, the sporting. Rajavadubhi, with the young women. Of Vrindavan. Idam, this. Cha, and. Vishnu, by Lord Vishnu. Sharadanavita, faithfully. Anushunuyat, hears. Atha, or. Varanayet, describes. Yaha, who? Bhaktim, devotional service. Param, transcendental. Bhagavati, under the personality of Godhead. Pratilabhya, obtaining. Kamam, material lust. Hrut, in the heart. Rogam, the disease. Ashu, quickly. Apahinoti, he drives away. Achirena, without delay. It's also quickly. It's also a word too. It's also another synonym is quickly. Dira, sober. Translation and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus, he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. Please repeat responsibly. Anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. Commentary. The extraordinary power of Lord Krishna's conjugal pastimes is clearly revealed here. Qualitatively, the Lord's spiritual loving pastimes are the diametric opposite of material lusty affairs, so much so that simply by hearing about the Lord's pastime, a devotee conquers sex desire. by reading pornographic literature or hearing about material romance, we certainly do not conquer sex desire, but rather increase our lust. But hearing or reading about the Lord's conjugal affairs is exactly the opposite effect, because they are the opposite nature, being purely spiritual. Therefore, it is by the causeless mercy of Lord Krishna that he exhibits his rasa lila within this world. If we become attached to this narration, we will experience the bliss of spiritual love, thus reject the perverted reflection of that love, which is called lust. As nicely put by Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita 2:59. Quote, once having directly experienced the Supreme, one will not return to material pleasures. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 33rd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled The Rasa Dance. And that was shloka number 39. Wow. Vrindavane Ramandareti Prasiddha Bhumo Tatrapi Krishna Balarama Suparam Ulejnanam Param Paramaya Krishna Sudharma Chuktam Dandas Tudeva Prabhupada Namo Namaste. Manchakalpatra Bhishcha Kripasana Bhivachabari Dhanam Pavane Bhyo Vishnu Vibhyo Namo Nama. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama. We'll need it. We're all children. Good luck. We'll need it. So this verse is wonderful. Now, what comes to mind is I remember reading from this book, upcoming book that is continually being edited perpetually. I'm hoping Bhakti Vikas Maharaj and his disciples will and his editors will come out in due course. A two-volume book, probably about Sima Guru. Now, one thing that was noted about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he let people hear according to their adhikara, according to their qualification. This is the discretion of the spiritual master. Because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to teach his followers that first anartana vritti, then artha pravritti. That first you must make sure that the dirty things are being cleansed from the heart. Then you can go for spiritual benefits. One has to deserve and desire. If lust and greediness, Prabhupada mentioned that you know if you're making advancement in the process of devotional service, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, if lustiness and greediness is going away from the heart. And to that extent it goes away, then you know yourself. That is the barometer. You don't, just like Prabhupada says, the famous verse is there. Well, it mentions, let's go back to the basics, from the Pada Padma, from the lotus feet of the Lord, from the first canto, second chapter, Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kiratana Hridyantasto Abhidhani Vidunoti Saritsatam. So Krishna, Sri Krishna is the Paramatma Super Soul and the well-wisher within the heart of everyone, cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from those who hear his and chant his pastimes, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. So it's a question of what? You see? Then it's a little bit further. That shloka is further elaborated in 11th canto chapter 2, verse number 42, the famous verse that goes, that says here, this verse is famous. It mentions that bhakti parashanu bhava, bhakti, devotion, parishanu bhava means you actually, the ability to perceive the Supreme. Para is transcendental. Isha is the Supreme Lord. And anubhava, parashanubhava, anubhava, the mood, following his mood. Transcendentally following the mood of the Supreme Lord. It means direct perception. It's translated as direct perception of the Supreme Lord. Parashanubhava, virakti, and detachment from that which is away from Krishna. Bhakti, parashanubhava, virakti, anyatra. Virakti, anyatra. Detachment from anything else. Yatatra, chaisa. Trika eka kalaha, these three things go ekakalaha, at one time. These three things are manifested at one time, meaning step by step. Trika ekakalaha, prapadyamanasya, step by step. Yathasna tasyu, just in the same way, tushti, pushti, krudapaya. Tushti means satisfaction. Pushti means nourishment. And krudapaya, your hunger is going away. Anugasam, gasam is eating. Anugasam, as you're eating. So, as one eats, it's a very, very good analogy. Prabhupada used to say, you don't need a certificate. You can measure it yourself. Just like when you're eating food, you know that when I eat food, I get strength, tushti, I get happiness, tushti, pushti, I get nourishment, and shudapaya, and my hunger goes away. And if your strength is not going, then you're not eating, Prabhupada said. Or you're eating and the worms are in your belly are taking it. Then you have to get some medicine to kill the worms. He goes, you're eating, and if you're not getting strength, then you're not eating. That was interesting. When I meditated on that, you're not eating means, well, maybe it's not the right prasadam. That was interesting. Or you're not eating. Well, you're not eating the right prasadam? Maybe. Or you're eating and the worms are getting it. You have to get some medicine to kill the worms. I liked it. It was a nice point. But you don't need a certificate. In Brahmananda and the other devotees, they asked him, Prabhupada, how much should I eat? You know how much you should eat. If you need 10 chapatis, you take 10 chapatis, but only 10 chapatis. You don't need, you know how much you should eat. The reality is we don't know what should we eat. One godbrother told me in 1977, Prabhupada told him directly with a laugh, with a chuckle, all of my children eat five times more than they require. Mr. Janaswamy personally told me when I was 2 days in the movement, he was telling me stories. He said, to encourage us to eat prasadam, Prabhupada used to eat huge amounts. On the Sunday feast or something, we would sit with Prabhupada and Prabhupada would eat. And he would say, give him more, give him more. And he would put it on his plate, give him more. You know, and he would make, and he would just laugh and watch us eat prasadam because it was our anchor. You know, we could never leave the temple. Where will I get such nice prasadam? If I leave the temple and I go home, you know, I'll never be able to get cauliflower pakoras and, you know, and gulab jamuns and like that. Many person was killed by an ISKCON bullet. You know what I mean? It's like that. Many person was shot down by an ISKCON bullet. Of course. But in his own diet, see, once the disciples got addicted to prasadam, then Prabhupada was taking prasadam in his own room, and then he went back. He went back. You know, he had his pretty much a strict diet, his nuts in the morning and a few things in the morning. Nuts, a little fruit, and a few things like that, you know. Tasted a little bit of the deity's sweets or something like that, but Prabhupada basically didn't eat much, you know. And his lunch was okay, you know, his lunch was all right, like that. But Prabhupada was pretty regulated. But Vishnu Janaswamy told me in the beginning days, you know, when I was a brand new devotee in '68, he told me when him and Tamal Krishna Maharaj came down from the was it called the Sunshine Nudist Colony or something like that, and they actually joined, whatever it was, I forgot the name of it anyway. Morning Star, whatever it was. What does it matter? one name or another name, you know? Hey! The bottom line was, Prabhupada ate a lot of prasadam to encourage the devotees. Now, this is your Ashraya Vigraha. For a brand new devotee, this is Ashraya Vigraha. And he kept that point. I'll never forget that conversation in 1976 when the Indian man went to Prabhupada from Chicago to Dallas. I went to your temple and they gave me too much prasad. Prabhupada goes, no. Gauranga's philosophy is akanta bhojana kori, eat up to the neck. Because Prabhupada knew what these Indians in America were doing. Prabhupada knew what they were eating. He was sharp. He's an old Calcutta boy. He knew what they were eating. You know? And I personally saw, I have this affectionate reminiscence that one of the devotees, the congregational members in St. Louis, when I was a pujari in 78, his name was Premchand. He was from Kulu district in Himachal. And he was in charge of the St. Louis Forest Park, is one of the biggest park in the city. And he was in charge, I think it was called the tinsel box or whatever it is. It's like a greenhouse arrangement of flowers. And all the horticultural arrangements, the gardens around the tinsel box or the, whatever it is, this greenhouses, with botanical gardens, you know, he was in charge of that. And him and his gardeners would
thin out the marigolds, you know, and give us whole truckloads of janmas to me and stuff. And mango plants, you know, tulsi plants, anything you want. You know, he was a close friend of mine. And he would come, Sunday feast. He was a riot. He had a great sense of humor. Him and his wife were very nice. And I would take prasadam with them, you know. And very good. And he would come. Sometimes he would come and see Gornatai after Raj Bhoga. And I would come with some Mahaprasad from Gornatai for him. And he would say, No, Tora Tora Denahatse. Just give me a little bit in the hand, huh? He was a little shy. You know, Mahaprasadam, just a little bit in the hand. But the children, his children were like 4 years old, and they were tugging on his trousers. And they were out in the foyer, you know, and they're in the front of the gate, because he was ready to, he had taken a little prasadam, you know, or whatever, he was just going to go in the restaurant, I forgot which sometimes. And he was thinking like that. And it was right in the foyer. He'd just come in from the front doors. And his children were walking with him, of course, and so they saw outside. And the children, while he was telling me to put a little prasadam in his hand, his children were pulling on his trousers. P2G, Cello McDonald's. Because three doors down from the temples is the Golden Arches, you know. P2G, Cello McDonald's. And he went, choop! Be quiet. Don't say that. We're in a temple. You know, children don't have tact, you know, but they revealed him. And I laughed and I said, Premchand, your children are exposing you, Premchand. Your children are spilling the beans, Premchand. Your children are spilling the beans, Premchand. And he goes, and he just turned red. Oh, he turned red. He was so embarrassed. Of course, he didn't realize that the Indians, you know, went to court, you know, and took him to court for the beef flavoring that they put in their French fries. Are pagal, they're so juta, they're all juta. The whole restaurant is juta. The whole restaurant is contaminated. How can you think you can? Is it article kutinyaya, the half a hen philosophy? Oh, it's all right. We'll just eat the French fries and the strawberry shake or something. You know what I mean? Can we get away with that? No, come on, the whole place is juta. The whole place is contaminated, you know. But that's what they were doing, the American Indians. And Srila Prabhupada knew that. Srila Prabhupada knew that. And therefore he said, na, 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 he said. He told him affectionately to that man, Gauranga's philosophy is akanta bhojana kori, take up to the neck. In the beginning, when you're a brand new person, eat up to the neck. That is your ashraya. It's prasadam. Prabhupada taught that very clearly. Then the man complained. Well, and I saw your pujaris. They were performing. There was no one to do the arti. They were playing a cassette tape. And Prabhupada goes, really? Well, no one was there to sing. The pujaris should have sung. Oh, when I heard that, that was it. That was 1980 when I heard that. I thought, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's what I'm going to do. And that's exactly what I did do. And my whole life changed. Just by following that instruction from my spiritual master. But it was important. Akanta bhojana kori. This is food. Alright? Now, the problem is that there is a straight line. For those who are on the new devotees on the path of devotion, there is a straight line. The tongue, the belly, and the genital. Now, if you eat too much food at the wrong time, you know, eggplant sabji at night or something like that, then whoever sense object you might have met during the daytime might come back in your dreams at night. It is not. So one has to be very careful what to take. If you need something at night, light vegetables are very good. Squash, sabjis, things like that. Something very light. There was a vegetable that we used to make in St. Louis, which was very good to offer the deity. It's called, it was one of our favorite, you know, I slept my through my alarm clock sabji. One of those. What we used to do, but it was so well loved. It was such a nice sabji. You take this yellow squash and you grate it, right? You grate it up, I don't know, take a kilo or kilo and a half of yellow squash. Could be zucchini too, hey, but it's not quite the same taste, but it does, you know. Chalte, it goes, you know. Yellow, green squash, zucchini will also work. And you grate it, fine. While you're grating it, you take about a half a gallon of milk and you put it in a big pot, right? And you put it on a candy stove, So this way you're taking half a gallon of milk and you put it on a candy stove and it's rolling, all right? You turn the heat on high and it's rolling. So by the time you finish grating the squash, the milk is already rolling, okay? Take the squash, dump it in the milk, add your cumin powder, a little pinch of hing, and that's about it, you know? A little haldi if you want, a little turmeric if you want, okay? If you put ginger, put it at the end because the milk will curdle. Most of the time it does it anyway, but the milk will definitely curdle if you put the ginger in early, you know? And then, put it, you don't even put a lid on it. By the time the vegetable's finished in 5 minutes, the milk is already absorbed into the vegetable. It's a wonderful, light delight. And we used to offer that sometimes to the deities at Rajaboga, and when I would come off the altar, it was gone. From the kitchen, whatever the small amount I had in the kitchen was gone. And whatever was in the deity's bowl was gone. Somebody knew, this is light and it's nice, and it was gone. You know, so this vegetable is a very good vegetable at night, you know, like that. Something very light, low-key, something. Don't eat heavy at night. Or put an apple or something like that. It basically what it is telling your digestive system, shut up. Chup brow, just be quiet, don't bother me. Eat this apple, shut up. Don't bother me. Don't bite me. You know? Basically that's it. And I heard Prabhupada with his own lotus lips in Vrindavan when he was talking about, it was the shloka in the sixth canto, chapter 2, when Srila Prabhupada was talking about Ajamila was embracing the Shudrani and they were putting turmeric on their arms to increase the excitement they had with each other. And Prabhupada looked around the room. We were all 18 years old, 19 year old boys and girls. And he said, this thing, Shudra and Shudrani, is embracing on the streets. You know, you can see that at every street corner. He said, and he looked at all of our faces in Krishna Balaram Mandir, seeing all of us in the Bhagavatam class, and he said, so Maya is very strong. We must take precaution. Then he looked at us square and he said, don't eat at night. I'll never forget it. It was like, shh. You know, it's like, you know, when he said that, that like penetrated my heart and it never left. Now, of course, I've broken that order of my guru many times at night, let's say. But let's just point it this way. If you're not free from lusty desire, then you must take precaution. First thing, out of sight, out of mind, that's one precaution. It's temporary. Huh? Spiritualize the mind at night. That is essential. Huh? If your mind is chanchal, if it's flickering, don't eat at night or eat an apple or be really light. Next thing is spiritualize the mind with Krishna Katha, your favorite topics. Next, if one is not free from the bodily conception of life, then even if you look at the Supreme Lord's consorts on the altar, Lalita, Vishakha, Radharani, etc., if your mind mistakes them, if by looking at the transcendental gopis on the altar, if the mind reminds you of material girls' bodies in any way, then that is not proper because their bodies are transcendental, beyond the modes of material nature. If their vigraha, if their Sri Vigraha reminds you of a material form of their perverted reflection, a mundane girl's body or something like that, then for such persons, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told them, they cannot read the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. Even some sections of Chaitanya Charitamrita, like for example the Antyalila chapter 20, is a very wonderful chapter dealing with Radharani's bhava in Shikshastika. Specifically the last shlokas of Shikshastika, dealing, Aslisyava Parvatam Vinastumam Adarshanam Marmahatam Korotuva Yatatata Vavadadata Lampata. Even if Krishna's a Lampat, even if he wants another girl, if he wants to be with another gopi, and because of the elders he can't go, Radharani says. And even if he wants to be with another girl and that gives me pain, my business is to please Krishna. I will not hesitate to go there, Radharani says, and I will grab her by the hand and I will bring her there. Krishna is the life of my life. Therefore, I try to keep him happy and serve him and please him at all respects. When you look at that shloka, I believe it's about 47, something, in that area, 47, 48, in that area of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila, chapter 20. At the very end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, really, it really underlines what Radharani Seva Bhava is. But still, if that particular sadhaka was not free from that platform of Vinardana Vritti, and if he had a tendency still to become attracted to the material bodies of other conditioned souls, then for their own protection, they should not hear the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, etc. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would forbid it. Instead, you should read other pastimes of Gauranga, of the coward boys, and like that. Okay? However, if one hears from the realized soul, if one is a little sober, and that such devotees also should concentrate on the first canto and the second canto, it's described, the lotus feet of the Lord. If your mind is not free from the bodily conception of life, which is fixed on greediness and lustiness, then that devotee is recommended to study the first canto and the second canto of the Lord repeatedly, along with Gita and other transcendental literatures like that. That is your food. And by that food, by the eating of that Bhagavatam, then your dirty things will be cleansed by absorbing your mind in Padapadma nicely. Then you can go on to the third canto, fourth canto, everything, up to the tenth canto, the smiling face. Now, our beloved Srila Prabhupada has done Krishna book in such a nice way because the disciples prayed to him that we are not sure how long you will remain on this planet. And if you depart from us, then how will we understand the tenth canto? So because of that, Prabhupada did the Krishna book so nicely. And in such a careful way that nobody can misconstrue Krishna to be just simply a lusty village boy playing games with others' wives. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that. Prabhupada did it in such a wonderful way. And therefore, we used to hear Krishna book at night time with milk and bananas and like that. We used to hear Krishna book. You see? It doesn't matter. And all those boys and girls in temples that I saw, they were all young. They were all getting married. They were all doing things. We were all on the simple levels of devotional life. Yet nonetheless, still the food was Krishna book. The food was Krishna book. And Srila Prabhupada commented there in the introduction that this book, Krishna book, as well as Vishwanath Chakravartipad's Krishna Bhavanamrita Mahakavya, is actually solace for those that are burning in the fire of separation from Krishna. My point, my original point that I made here when there was only a handful of devotees in the room, was Sayam Prata, as Srila Prabhupada says, morning and evening. If you do that with your dear friend, with your dear associate, go to the Gauranga, with Gauranga to Navadvip, go with the Krishna Katha to the Navrindavan, and find the exact point of Vrindavan that you or your dear friend want. You know, topics about Vrindavan. Or, if there is an aspect of anartha that still dogs you in your conditioned stage, then analyze that anartha very scrutinizingly, very from the previous acharyas. Scrutinizingly analyze that very nicely. Turn an obstacle into an opportunity. Or as our beloved Sridhar Maharaj said, there is no utility in negativity. The skeletons in the closet were all embarrassed at it, and we would wish they would go away, but they don't go away so easy. Because why? Anartha, Vishaya Vishama Visha Satata Kainu Gaura Kirtana Rasa Magana Huinu, Narottam sings. That because my mind is eager to enjoy the material enjoyment, then I'm not interested in the Gauranga Kirtana Rasa. So it's this thing, our mind gets stolen away by this anartha. Raghunath Das Goswami says, Asatkata is like a Vesya. He said, it is like a prostitute that attracts the mind away from Krishna. I remember that in 1985, when I was going on Sangirtan, I was staying within the protection of my godbrother in America, and I was doing the monuments, the Washington monuments, museums there. And there were tourists from all over the world, and we had good fun, you know, distributing books to them and like that, and fun, right? Now, after the day Sangirtan was over, because I did my Giriraj Puja in the morning, not, and I had like 8 rounds to finish sometimes, right? So I would, instead of taking the train home, I would walk home, you know, through the suburbs to the preaching center. Now, when you go through the preaching center, you got to go down 14th Street. And 14th Street was the red light street of Washington, D.C. And they had bars and pubs and all types of stuff and red light buildings too. And you're walking down the street, you know, you're walking down chanting Hare Krishna mantra on your beats, and then your eyes catch one of those shop windows, and that was the girl was waiting for, just to catch somebody, you know, and she goes like this, she goes. Literally, I would just like, I would get scared, like anything. As soon as they did that, she would go, all right, come here, fella. You know, she's like half naked, you know, like half naked, half dressed. And I was so scared. I would literally fall over practically. I was so scared. I would see that. I would get so scared, you know. But actually, this is what Raghunath Das Goswami is saying. It's amazing. Asat Kato Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings in the bhajan. Baba na baba na man, tumi ati dushta. Oh mind, you're such a rascal. Bishai bishaya johe. The taste of materialism, poison, is so nice. Asat katam balo lage he. This nonsense topic is so good. Saru sanga binayara kota jaba esta. Ek bar baby dekho hai, baba na man, tumi ati dushta. He said, without the association of devotees, kota jaba esta, where will you get anything? Where will you get something? Just consider it one time. This is a bad mentality. Mind, you're so wicked. Bhaktivinoda Thakura sang in Gitavali. So nice. So, then this way, I was protected by the holy name, and I would go walk through the street, continue my rounds, walking through the street, whew, got away from there, and then we would continue and go back to the temple. And I finished my 8 rounds, you know, it was like that. Happened all the time. Anyway, I thought I would share this with the devotees. Now, we still read Krishna book in those days, and Krishna Bhavanamrita Mahakavya is translated, it is available, it is confidential. Now, we have to know what we're qualified for. That's the bottom line. But it doesn't matter. From ABC to GBC, everybody has to search out this nectar that sustains us, really. Otherwise, like one godbrother who is extremely dear to my heart, probably one of the godbrothers that's the most dear to my heart, he has a crisis in his life. His wife left him in a very strange and a very foolish way. But, and when he was telling me about it, he said, I was married to that person for 22 years. But when this happened to me, then I had to turn the mirror and ask myself, did I really know that person? And when he said that to me, that was like a flash of understanding that we can't just have an impersonal relationship with people. It can't be just a quote-unquote, the statement is a marriage of convenience. Well, you know, she gives me what I need, I get what I need, and we take care of our material necessities together and we get on. No, it can't be like that. We are bound together by the will of Krishna to go back to home, back to Godhead. Are we doing it? Therefore, it requires to go very deep. We are required to have some special time together with our dear friend, hearing and chanting and making sure that we get exactly what we need, specifically and individually. And this is real love. Are you getting Krishna the way you want? Are you getting Gauranga the way you need? Are you taking care of your anarthas the way you need? It has to be a win-win situation. When I was meditating on it recently, when you think about the Vedic culture of old, how people would literally, and we heard it from our grandfathers and and we've heard about it, it's actually there in history, how when somebody leaves the planet, suppose your grandfather dies, right? Then sometimes the separation was so powerful from your life mate, you know, your life spouse, that grandmother would leave the body after about 2 months. She just lost the will to live. When Sanatana Goswami left the planet, Rupa Goswami went into his room and didn't come out for a month. Basically, he left. He left. There was no desire. I was talking with a godbrother of Prabhupada when I asked about it. He wrote a booklet about the six Goswamis. And he said, after Rupa and Sanatana left, Raghunath Das Goswami gave up everything. Even his chas he gave up, and he was drinking Radhakund water. And I went, wow, he went down to drinking Radhakund water. How long did he live? He thought that was a stupid question. He's a firecracker. His godbrother Prabhupada was a firecracker. He thought it was a stupid question. He goes, how long will you live if you drink water? He went like that. Then he became thoughtful and he goes, maybe 1 month, maybe a month and a half. Then he started to cry. And he said, after the departure of Rupa and Sanatana, Raghunath Das had no desire to live. You see? It's an idea. When a devotee has really touched your heart, has really given you Krishna, has supported your spine their whole life, you follow me? When you actually bind with the devotee, really deep, then after the departure of that devotee, there's no desire to live. When Ramachandra Kaviraj, who was a very wonderful associate of Narottam Das Thakur, they were described to be like two souls with one body. Their nature was so similar. They associated with each other so much in their life. Ramachandra Kaviraj, who was the disciple of Srinivasacharya, was so close. When he left his body, I believe he was coming back from Vrindavan to Bengal or something on the way or something. He gave up his body. When the news struck, Srinivasacharya was so mortified that he gave up his body. He was so attached to such a sweet disciple. Such a, you know. And Narottam Das Thakur wrote the Jayani Lo Premodana Bhajan. And he was ready. He was ready to leave also. It was only by Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and a few others that begging him that he agreed to stay for some more weeks. The Narottam Das agreed to stay for a few more weeks to fulfill a particular purpose. But then afterwards he left. There was this, and just Rasikananda, and Rasikamangala is another example. When Rasikananda entered into the body of the deity of Gopinath, you know, they got there. They got, you don't need to go anywhere. The whole of Vrindavan is here in our temple. Sri Govinda, Gopinath, Madana Mohan, they've got all three. You don't need to go anywhere. Ramona is the whole Vrindavan. When he went there, and he went into the deity room and didn't come out, Rasikananda, then his disciples were so mortified in separation from their spiritual master that they quit their material body immediately. Instantly they gave up. Now, when we hear the stories, you know, from Bhakti Ranakar, what prema they had, what attachment they had to the Vaishnava, what attachment they have, or even in Vedic culture. Prabhupada said, I knew, even in 1950, one lady that did that, secretly. Her husband died. He was a doctor. But that lady was so deeply, you know, bond with her husband, so deep was the bond, that she thought the fire, his funeral pyre, was nothing compared to the burning fire of viraha, separation from her husband. Later, when people tried to force the ladies to embrace the fire, that's when the British stopped it. No, 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 come on, girls don't have that chastity anymore with their husband. Their faithfulness is, that faithfulness is not there. You know, the British stopped it. Don't force the girls to commit sati. You follow me? because that bonding was not there. But in Vedic cultures, you know, Jayadev, Padmavati, come on. When you think about all that, you know, this is real life. It is a partnership for going back to home, back to Godhead. Bond with the devotee. They actually take you back to Godhead. That's the point. You're going back to Godhead. So whether it's in the temple, and when you've got that love, then your heart becomes very broad and you can give it to other devotees. You can give it to other congregations. If you're loved, if your heart is touched by another Vaishnava and they help you go to the spiritual world, they help you go to Gauranga, they help you go to Vrindavan in that very special touching ways, you see, then your heart becomes full with that love. And you can love another devotee. You can preach. Pranache jar sehetu prachar. If you've got life, you can preach. Dead man can't preach. You see? So we must get the love of a devotee. We must get that touching association. But otherwise, when that God brother said that to me last year in Vrindavan, it was like a shock. When he said that to me, I went, wow. I immediately touched his feet. I fell at my Prabhu's feet. And I said, Prabhu, you just said something that is an amazing realization. I've never been married in my life. And by your blessings, I never will. I said, but what you've said is really a big hurricane. I've really learned something amazing from you. Now, did I really know that person? You know, so we can't be external or artificial in our relationships. We have to go deep. The essence of bhakti is this hearing and chanting. We were so attached in the early days of our movement to Krishna book, you know, and prasad in the evening. And it would just steal our minds, you know, the last half an hour before sleep, steal our minds and take it to the spiritual world. If you don't got that, at least with your close friend, please take it. Because this is the elixir, the rejuvenator that'll take it. The famous verse, it's like my famous verse for Prachara Namrit, from the southern declension of Mukundamala. Not the BBT version that Bhaktivedanta used. It's the other one. Sri Govinda Padam Bojo Marano Mahat Adabhutam Yatapayano Namuyanti Muyanti Yatapayana. The liquor distilled from Lord Govinda's lotus feet is certainly very amazing. One who drinks that liquor becomes free from intoxication. But when it refrains from drinking, it becomes intoxicated by material illusion. Choose your liquor. Choose your what you'll hear. Choose your liquor. What do you want? Which intoxication do you want? You know. Ah, Govinda. His feet is so nice. His charming is so nice. Buy that liquor. We're namuyanti. We will not become bewildered. So these pastimes of Krishna and the gopis are wonderful, provided you remember their bodies are spiritual. These gopis, all their bodies is transcendental and spiritual. They played with Krishna and associated with Krishna in their spiritual bodies for a whole night of Brahma. And their maya form, their maya manifestation under the disguise of yoga maya were with their husbands. And there was no issue. You know? The Brajavasis, their wife is there. There was no issue. They were not disturbed. These girls have transcendental bodies. They have Tulsi Rani has got a transcendental body, and they're all compassionate. Well, I was reading yesterday in the 108 names of Radha, it mentions there how Balarama has parental affection for her, and it mentions that she is very, very close to Yamunaji. It mentions something about Radharani's appearance in a particular nakshatra has some relation to Jamunaji also. So Jamunaji and Radha are very close also. See? All of these are all Jagat Dhatris. They're all this transcendental feminine side of the absolute truth. They're Jagat Dhatris. They are the holders of the universe, the mothers of universal mothers of children. And they can give compassion. I was reading on these cow shlokas that I've got, that Kormarupa sent me, all about a wonder of the cows. And it mentioned that once Srimati Radharani saw a calf whose cheek had been pierced by a sharp straw, you know? And Radharani immediately started to cry and took that calf on her lap. And she took some red lac from her foot and she put it there on the cheek of that calf to heal it from that sharp piercing wound. And Radharani was crying and embracing the calf, you know, like this, to try to console the calf. And I was thinking, how soft, how Vrindavan, you know, like that. How soft, how Vrindavan, how warm it is. There was other stories about Radharani. Radharani with the tree jackal, like that Radharani with a sheep, with some she jackal, and Vrindavan was crying piteously, and Radharani took compassion on her. Radharani is the compassionate nature of Krishna. And in this way, we can always take shelter. But we must never forget their bodies are transcendental. Huh? Their bodies are transcendental. Not only that, but a Vaishnava sees all personalities as Krishna's property. The tilak, in between the forehead. Because the eyes is the focus. When you look at a human being, most of the time the face is the first thing you look at, because the eyes are basically the sign of life. You know, like that, the eyes are very attractive. But in between the eyes is the tilak. And that means that this is the property of Lord Vishnu. We cannot exploit it. We cannot enjoy it. It is the property of Lord Vishnu. We have to cooperate with the property of Lord Vishnu so that we may also go to Lord Vishnu. Hare Krishna. We'll stop here. This shloka is so amazing. And it is the conclusion of the entire chapter of the Rasa Leela, and therefore this shloka is memorized, heard, sung, and accepted by devotees. And it is the evidence. If you hear and chant Krishna's pastimes with his gopis, understanding their bodies are transcendental, then the hridroga, the disease of the heart, will go away. If it doesn't, because you see, you have a pratak bhava, you have a separate vision, you're seeing their forms reminding you of material forms, then for your own protection, temporarily, hear and chant about something else until the disease lifts. Then when the disease lifts, you may again go back to those transcendental pastimes. You must be careful and chant the topics that you're qualified for. But nonetheless, the topics of Gauranga, Bhakta Dosha Hanta. Gauranga is known as Bhakta Dosha Hanta. It destroys the faults of the devotee. So Gauranga Katha, huh? And topics like that will cleanse the heart of all that nonsense from the heart. Huh? And then later on you can become qualified to appreciate the transcendental pastimes of Krishna with the gopis. So we'll stop here now. Is there any way we can serve the devotees' questions? If they have a question on this topic, we can try to serve them. Bonding. Bonding. You bond with one nice devotee, then your heart becomes broad and you can give that love to another devotee. Yes, Prabhuji?
We have another question, Maharaj, just a comment about how the bond was there with Grihasthas in past ages, and that when one part would leave, the other one would practice one by a separation. I've been listening to Shiva installation of Mahabharata, and in there it talks about in the first section, I forgot what it's called.
Purva, that's the Adiparva.
Adiparva, he's talking about when Pandu went into exile, not into exile, he went and lived in the forest.
Yeah, when Pandu went to exile in the forest, right.
And then when he died, then his two wives, Madri and Kunti, were reasoning with each other why they should be the one that enters into the fire. They were actually having a little bit of a contest. Well, no, I should go. No. They were saying, I should go. And he was the reason. I thought it quite interesting. Whereas like these days, probably exactly the opposite. No, you should go and I'll stay here.
Yeah, it's Kali Yuga, selflessness has really gone down the tubes. You know, selfishness is very much there in Kali Yuga. Yeah, the thing that that Madri was saying, well, she was by Kunti's grace that Madri got her two sons, the Nakula and Sahadeva, which is the manifestation of the mercy of the Ashwini Kumaras. It was by Kunti's grace, actually. Kunti had affection for her co-wife, so she got Nakula and Sahadeva as her children. You know? First of all, Kunti Devi said, congratulated Madri, that our husband Pandu was actually attracted to your beauty. You know, so you actually caught the embrace of our husband, whereas I never got that, Kunti said. First thing was, it was amazing. It wasn't like Kunti was saying, Oh, well, there was limitation. Oh, Madri, why you didn't stop him? And he said, I tried to stop him. He was too maddened and he wouldn't listen to me. And then after saying that, then she took it the other way. That maddened means he must have been captivated because you're actually so qualified. You're actually so, astoundingly beautiful, like an apsara, Amazing. Kunti Devi had such good qualities. She just took it. Oh, Madri, you're so beautiful and so wonderful, like an apsara. Our husband couldn't resist. You're so beautiful and so qualified. All glories to you. It's like there wasn't enviousness on it. You're so fortunate, in that sense. But then they had to get down to reality like that. You had to get down to reality. Oh, I should fall on our husband's funeral pyre and leave. But then Madri said no, because if you leave and I have to take care of the children, I may have partial mentality. I may not respect your children like I respected my children. But you are not like that, Madri said. You have such a wonderful equanimity and such a wonderful vision. You'll be able to take care of my children as your own. Whereas I may not have that same mentality, therefore I should be the one. And I'm the one, she said. And she said, I'm the one who was the cause of our husband dying now, so I should take it. So Madri accepted it. It would show the noble qualities of both of these ladies, actually. It was quite amazing. It was interesting. But in any case, it is hard to turn back the clock of Kali Yuga. But Srila Prabhupada did want devotees to bond together in very deep, loving friendships. So much so, just like a while ago, when in New Govardhan, when Malati Mata gave her kidney to her husband, Krishna Kirtan, I became shocked. And I said, Ma, you have raised the bar of chastity. I said, Ma, this is amazing. You have really raised the bar of chastity. It is extraordinary. It just means something that husband and wife team were really binded. I was impressed. I said, Ma, you have really raised the bar of chastity. Or my godbrother, Madhava Ghosh, got a liver from his son. He got like two-thirds of his son's liver. But I didn't know that, but actually the liver is a special quality of an arrogant. It actually rejuvenates the whole self. Both pieces were within 1 month. Both pieces will totally manifest a whole brand new liver. It rejuvenates the whole thing. His son's liver would rejuvenate back to its original size, and that little piece that was implanted in his father will become a whole size liver. Livers are special. The only organ in the body that really can do that. But the kidney. And many people, with our kind of diets, especially after 50, we can't eat after 50, basically. It's all gone. But, the body can easily go on one-third of a kidney if you eat right, like that. So one kidney is not a big deal. But it was quite amazing of her that she gave a kidney to her husband. Raised the bar of chastity. So, but the thing is this, that in regards to that faithfulness, or like I mentioned yesterday about it in Mayapur, when Swarup Damodar Das got stabbed in Jagannath Mandir, many long years ago, 1987 something, somebody made swift, some mad man, deranged person stabbed him repeatedly, made his body Swiss cheese. I suppose it was about 30, 40 stabs, wounds. So immediately, 35 brahmacharis jumped in a bus and ran off to Krishnanagar Hospital, ready to give their blood. The whole idea was, I don't care. This brahmachari must not die. I'm ready to give my arm for that brahmachari. That was love. The point, it wasn't simply like a rallying cry for another devotee. But because the devotee actually bonded with the other men, he became actually dear to the other men. So much so that they could not see their life without that Vaishnava. That kind of thing, you follow. This is what we need to get in terms of a Vaishnava community. But unless you get that love from another Vaishnava, your heart will not become soft. Therefore, even if you only got a half an hour, or you only got an hour to chant in the evening, get the most out of it to make sure that you're winning and your partner is winning, or your friend is winning. It just makes sure that everybody's getting the food they want. And if you're focusing, Satam Mayam, the shloka is 10th canto. But the good corollary of this shloka is the shloka, 10th canto, chapter 13, verse 2. I quoted it 2 days ago in the class. Satam Mayam Saragabratam Nesarago. The truthful devotees are interested in the essence of things. Yet Arthavani Shuddhi Cheta Samapi. As if the instructions, the benefit of the instruction is what they hear. Shuddhi Cheta Samapi. Pratikshanam Navyavaraju Tasiyad. They take Krishna's pastimes ever fresh and ever fresh. Just like Sriyabhitanami Vasadhu Varata, even as the materialists are attracted to refuse remnants of sensuous topics. So, this is our business. If you only got a half an hour, if you only got an hour, try to make it daily. Try to bond with the devotee. Somebody in the ashram, somebody in the temple, somebody in the house, somebody wherever you stay with, bond with them. Otherwise, that statement of my godmother was really an eye-opener. I was married to so-and-so for 22 years. Did I really know that person? He said that to me. Big shock. No. We must really make sure we know that person. We have to be able to touch the heart of that person. And this way, it is a redoubled strength going back to home, back to Godhead. That will strengthen the community. That will strengthen the hearts of the devotees in all ashramas with Krishna and Gauranga Katam. Like that Raja. The deity stole his mind. Shamsundar stole his mind and took it to the spiritual world. And when the Raja got in difficulty, Shamsundar said, "That's all right. You just meditate on me. You just absorb in my beautiful form." And Shamsundar came out, took the form of the king, defeated his rivals, and protected the kingdom for the king. Tesham nityava yuktanam yogakshema mahamyaham. Big time. Krishna did that for that king big time. "That's all right. You just stay. You just meditate on me. I'm not going to stop your manasik puja. Go ahead. You continue to relish my beauty. I'll take care of you." It's true. It's a true story. It actually happened. So, if we love Krishna so deeply, so lovingly, then Krishna will definitely take care of us. We have to do that morning and evening. Then, when the sound comes, immediately our mind will be stolen. You know? But Balarama's horn will bring us back. If it happens in the daytime and we're stolen. In the daytime, Shayam Pranta, our mind is stolen momentarily in the daytime. Don't worry, Balarama's horn is very good. Toot! Immediately you'll be back to dutifulness. Krishna's flute will not melt so far. Sri Dhamma would chastise Krishna when they're going out in the forest, when they're just starting to go, and the cows become so happy, and they're dancing and jumping and leaping in the air in excitement. "We're going to the forest," the cows say. "We're going to the forest." And they jump, and they dance, and they run up ahead, and they turn around, and they look back at Krishna. And sometimes they come running back, charging back at Krishna. And then they hit Krishna with their tails, and they circumambulate Krishna. And zah! And again they run out in the forest. And then Sri Dhamma tells Krishna, "Krishna, don't play your flute now. Please don't play your flute now. Because if you play your flute, the cows will be stunned, and they won't move, you know. But when we get to the pasture, then you can play your flute. When the cows are chewing grass, then you can play your flute. But don't play your flute now." "Don't play your flute now." And Krishna goes, yeah, sure, Sri Dhamma, whatever you say, right? Whatever Sri Dhamma says. Krishna goes, yeah, sure. You know? Oh, Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Okay, any other questions? Thank you for the comments, Prabhuji. That was nice. That's very nice. Huh? That's very nice. Hare Krishna. Anything else? We covered the bases? All right. Glories to Sri Sri Gornatai, Radha Vallabha, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra, Shalagram Gan, and Tulsi Rani, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.